Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study the Word of God, Rightly Divided. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week, looking at some things in the Sermon on the Mount and dealing particularly with this passage, which we'll read again to get us started, which is over here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. We're going to start here in verse number 17. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, as we look at this passage, we see how the whole aspect of what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here has to do with their performance under the law system. As we see here in the passage, when we look here in verse number 19, it starts talking about how an individual had to not only be performing all of the things inside of the law, but they had to actually be teaching somebody to actually keep every part of the law. Now, the law system, you can go back and to the book of Exodus, and you can see the beginning of the laying out of the law. You see in Leviticus a number of things that are actually laid out related to the law. The book of Deuteronomy actually gives the whole entire law system laid out. But we see here, and I want to go over to the book of James for a moment here. And James, who writes to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, is going to really kind of expand on something here when he says in chapter number 2 in verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So an individual, if they are under that law system, they would have to keep the law 100% of the way. Couldn't have any aspect where they would actually be a transgressor of the law in order to be righteous according to their own works. Now, we can see very clearly from reading the law system that there was no way that an individual would even be able to come close to actually keeping the law 100% of the time, keeping every aspect of the law and making it so that way they would be able to be seen as righteous in the eyes of God. There was no way that that was possible, but individuals were trying to do that on their own, and that's what you see in verse 20 when it gets into this whole discussion about the scribes and the Pharisees and their righteousness, which they put some things upon themselves, trying to make it even harder to prove that they were more righteous than other individuals. I want to go over here for a moment to Mark chapter number 7. And we're going to get into a discussion here in Mark 7, looking at what it is that the scribes and Pharisees actually tried to do here. And we're going to start right at verse 1 of Mark 7. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now, we see from these first five verses, and we're going to continue on reading in this chapter, but from just these first five verses, how the Pharisees and scribes were not looking at specifically what it is that the Word of God said, what the law prescribed for individuals, but they were holding to the things which were the traditions of the elder. So they were looking at man's traditions and trying to judge the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples on whether they were following the traditions of man or not. And that's why you can get this answer that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give here. We're going to pick up in verse 6 of Mark chapter number 7. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And here's the whole problem that the Pharisees and scribes were having with what they did. They were making the word of God of none effect to them because they were putting the traditions of man above the things that were written in the word of God. They were trying to prove that they were more righteous than individuals because they were, you know, in their eyes, not only doing everything that God had commanded, but they were actually doing all these things that the fathers had said as well. And here he's telling them that, you know, what they're doing is making the word of God of none effect because they've not only are they looking at traditionalism and man's word as the equivalent of God, but they were doing things to contradict God's word so that way it would be easier for them to keep it. But they weren't even keeping the law by doing so. Now, what you see the Lord Jesus Christ, when he starts talking about the law system with the nation of Israel, he takes it beyond the whole issue of just the performance and what it is that they were doing, and he brings up some things about the whole mentality that an individual is supposed to have. Now, I want to go back over to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment here because we're going to see the issue of the righteousness that he's making a reference to and what was actually going on with what he was teaching here. And in Matthew chapter number 5, now we're going to read here verses 21 and 22 of the chapter and see what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now he starts out here in verse 21 dealing with this issue of, you know, you've heard of old time, thou shalt not kill, and he's quoting the law and telling them that this is what you've heard and focusing specifically on just the action of it. But he takes it that step further in verse number 22 to say about, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. He's taking it to the whole mindset and emotional status of the individual of that if they are angry with an individual without a cause, that they're in this danger because their mindset would put them towards this issue of wanting to kill the individual. Now, I have to say, having read these verses, that, you know, a lot of your modern versions of the scripture leave out a few words in verse 22 of what we just read here, and they leave out that phrase, without a cause. And so the verse would read, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. Now here's the problem with leaving out those words, without a cause. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he entered into the temple and he saw the money changers who were robbing individuals and profiting off of the sacrificial system, and you see him flipping over the tables of the money changers in anger over what they were doing, if I leave those words without a cause out of this verse and say that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment, then the Lord Jesus Christ himself would be in danger of judgment because he's just condemned himself through those words. That phrase, without a cause, is part of this verse because he had a cause to be angry there because they were doing things contrary to the word of God. So he did not commit sin. If you leave those words out, he committed sin. He's no longer that proper sacrifice that could be there to have take care of the sin issue for mankind. Now, he takes it further here. We're just going to read one more example here of what he says related to the law before we start talking about the truth of what is applies to us, the members of the body of Christ. I want to read one more passage here in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read here verses 27 and 28. It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a man to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So again, he takes it beyond just the whole aspect of the actual physical act of committing adultery and puts it into the aspect of the individual who looks upon another individual, has that lust to commit the act. They've already committed it and they're already guilty in the eyes of God. Now, lucky for us is the members of the body of Christ. You know, it's the glorious thing of that we already have the issue of sin and the law already taken care of for us today. And we don't have to worry about these things that the Lord Jesus Christ has been saying here to the nation of Israel. I want to go over to start looking at this in Galatians chapter number 3. And here in Galatians chapter number 3, we're going to start in verse number 10. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So here we have the Apostle Paul quoting out of the book of Deuteronomy, talking about how an individual would have to keep all of the things in the law. If they didn't do so, that they would be cursed. You know, that comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. But he's going to continue on in this discussion here, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, here's the glorious thing for us, the members of the body of Christ. He was made a curse for us because the whole issue of sin was put upon him at the cross. He had lived a life here on planet Earth, born of a woman. You know, he was tempted in all ways, just as all mankind is. And you read that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And he lives a perfect life. He's a perfect sacrifice for all of mankind. And all of mankind today has access to this ability to have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And all an individual has to do today is put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And belief in that, and that alone, brings a person's salvation, brings them to the point to where what the Apostle Paul can say here about how Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, this is why when you read over here, and I'm going to go back into the book of Romans for a moment. Let's go to Romans chapter number 3. And we're going to start here, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, when he says this, and individuals, you know, try to do a lot of different things to really kind of twist around what the Apostle Paul is saying here when he's talking about how for the remission of sins that are past. The whole issue is that for a believer, once they've put their trust in the gospel, the whole issue of sin is past. Sin that we're talking about here is defined as the transgression of the law. Now, that's the sin that actually leads to, you know, what the Apostle Paul says, the wages of sin is death. That's this sin that leads to the wrath of God being poured out on an individual. So when he's saying here about the sins that are past, there's a reason for it because, and this is going to be something a lot of people really struggle with, it is impossible for a believer today to commit this sin that would result in a person having death be placed on them and being put under the wrath of God. And the reason why we see this is what the Apostle Paul starts to say about some things related to sin being the transgression of the law. Let's go over here. We're in the book of Romans. Let's go to chapter number 4. And we're going to read here, we're starting verse 13. It says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So, if there's no law, there's no transgression, Now I'm going to read here over in chapter number 5, verse 13, which says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." So if there's no law, there's no possibility of transgressing that law. And if there's no law and there's no transgression, there's no sin that can actually be imputed on a believer at that moment. So when we read the issue of that we've been redeemed from the law, where we've been made free from the law, that's why we can see the things of, for example, Romans chapter 6, verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." We are truly free from sin because there's no law, which means that there's no possibility of transgression, which means there's no sin, which means there's no death, which means there's no wrath that could possibly come upon us. And that's why the only thing that could be said about us is in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Instead of the issue of wrath and death being put upon us, the only thing that we can have is access to the gift of God, eternal life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's been promised to us the moment that we put our trust in the gospel. That's why when we read things like, for example, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And you can see here in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul saying some things about the condition of us once we put our trust in the gospel. And we're going to start here, verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And I want to stop here for a moment because I'm going to ask the question of how does a person become identified in Christ? The only way that a person has this is to be identified in him by putting their trust in the gospel. And once they do that, they are in Christ. That's why we can be looked at as old things are passed away. All things have become new. Now, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And that's the truth of what we are and how we are looked at. We are looked at as being righteous, not because of anything that we have done. We are looked at as being righteous because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. Because he was that perfect sacrifice, we are looked at in that condition. And that's why we can see the thing. I want to go over to Romans chapter number 4. And we're going to see what the Apostle Paul says here. Romans chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." The only faith that could be counted for righteousness is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what the result of our faith is. Our faith can only be looked at as being filthy rags in the eyes of God because we could not perform the law. We could not do the right thing. It was impossible for Mian to do that. Every time you see Israel attempting to function under the law, they failed over and over and over again, all because they couldn't do the right thing. The only individual who could do those things was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why he is the Savior, and that's why he took for us, the members of the body of Christ, he took the law away from us so we don't have to worry about any sort of an attempt at trying to have a performance-based system for having approval in the eyes of God. Because if you try to have it as a performance-based system, we would fail. We would mess up over and over again, and we would be in the same condition that Israel was, of where they could lose their salvation. The glorious thing for us is we have that guarantee of our salvation. We have the promise that we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit, a promise kept in the position where we have that salvation. Now, as we close here, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how you can join us for our Wednesday night Bible study. We would love to have you be part of that. And if you ever have any questions or would like to contact us, there's various methods to do so. We would love to hear from each and every member of the body of Christ. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.